Church, Mr. Dave Hall.
Recently, I was studying in the book of math and book of Matthew, and in reading in Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, I read about where the Lord told John that, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then a couple of chapters later, I'm reading in the same book, a couple of chapters later, in chapter 5, verse 6, I'm reading where it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now, that might seem, you know, pretty common to us. We're supposed to be working towards righteousness. We're supposed to be striving to be hungry and thirsty for the Word and to walk rightly before our God. But I think it goes a little bit deeper than that, and I wanted to share that with you today. In Matthew chapter 3, why don't you please turn over to chapter 3 of Matthew, and I want to read the chapter again, but this time I want to read it with a little bit of emphasis. And I want to start up in verse 13 to kind of give us the picture to set the scene. In verse 13, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you are baptizing, or you are coming to me.' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.'" Now, I put emphasis on three key words there that we want to touch on here in a little bit. But my question I'm going to ask you is, isn't Jesus the living Son of God? Why would he need to be baptized? Wasn't baptism for the remission of sins? Isn't that what John was doing? He said, "Repent and be baptized." And then Christ came to him, the living Son of God, who, in fact, the rest of the scriptures point to and say he knew no sin. And although he was tempted as we have been tempted, yet without sin. So what was he saying here when Jesus said, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness"? Well, you'll say, then it had to be all the prophecies. It just had to be all the scriptures that pointed to righteousness. But what does that mean? Because Jesus himself was full of righteousness. Why didn't he just say, "Because I'm full of righteousness, but yet I want to be baptized"? These are some questions that came into my mind while I was studying the scriptures. What did the Lord mean when he was teaching us? What did he mean when he said, "Permit it to be so"? In Matthew 3:15, Jesus was quoted as saying these things. What does the word "now" give us a cue of? Was it maybe that was the time, it was here, Christ had come, the Messiah was now in the field on, if you will say, boots are on the ground, the living Son of God is now here? I think that's what that word "now" is meaning. And it's "now" also means that it must be at the beginning of something, doesn't it? Now we're going to start. Now the ministry has started. Now the commission the mission is underway. And he includes John in his statement. He says, "Let it be permitted to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all scripture," or all righteousness. What was he saying when he included John? Well, John had been baptizing probably thousands of people by then when Christ came to him. And John knew, you're the Savior. You're the living Son of God. I need to be baptized by you, not you or me baptizing you. But Christ says, no, now's the time. We're going to do this. It's fitting that this be done now. And in doing so, by including John in front of thousands of people, he's stating that, John, your ministry is authenticated. It is real. You are the voice crying in the wilderness. And now the Savior is here. Pretty interesting. And then he goes on to say, to fulfill all righteousness. Christ was all righteousness. What did he mean when he said to fulfill all righteousness? Christ is the fullness of righteousness. Christ said, "I and my Father are one." So was he pointing to the Father and saying, because he's righteous, I'm righteous? Or was Christ saying, you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and he's righteous, so now I'm righteous? No. To fulfill all righteousness meant that everything that points to the Father, the whole mission that the Father wanted, it was to save the family of human beings and create a family of gods, sons of God. And now it was here. It had been prophesied for thousands of years, and now it is here. And that's what Christ was saying. And you and I, John, are starting this mission, the ministry. You've been preaching this, repent, for the kingdom of hand, our kingdom of God is at hand. And now he's here. He is me. I am the Savior, and I'm going to save this world. The righteousness was being fulfilled. All the prophecies pointed to the righteousness. All the prophecies talked about what the Father's plan was, salvation for mankind, for the human race. In Matthew 5, 6, chapter 5, verse 6, let's turn over to that. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Well, what did he mean when he said be filled with righteousness, or hunger and thirst and be filled, that they would be filled with righteousness? Here we're talking about the living Son of God who fulfilled righteousness, who was the full of righteousness. But what is he saying over here in Matthew chapter 5 when he says, "Blessed are those who are hungry, who hunger and thirst for righteousness"? It's a little bit slant on the word that Matthew is using here. Matthew in chapter 3 is pointing to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is full of righteousness, and that all righteousness will be fulfilled through him. But just two chapters over, in chapter 5, Jesus, the Savior, our elder brother, our high priest, he's teaching us and he's saying, you're going to be happy. You are truly going to be blessed. This is an event that's going to bring you into an eternal life, a life with the Father and with me forever. This is awesome. And you should be hungry for this. You should be thirsty for this. And if you are, then you're going to be blessed. And it's going to, you'll be full. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And let's read what verse 35 says. In John chapter 6, verse 35, he says, "And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger." Christ wants us to be hungry, hungry for righteousness. Turn, if you will, over to chapter 7. Chapter 7. And in verse 37 and 38. "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. Let him come to me and drink." Christ used hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake. He wants us to imitate him. He wants us to walk in his footsteps. He wants us to be in his Father's kingdom with him. Jesus Christ, our Lord, was and is full of righteousness. His baptism was necessary to start the ministry that he is the Savior. He is the Savior King. And by him being baptized, he's letting humanity know, I am your king. I am bound with you. You are my brothers and my sisters. We are in this together. Follow me. And isn't that what his ministry said for the rest of the 3.5 years that he spoke? Follow me. Jesus Christ, our Lord, was full and is full of righteousness. His baptism fulfilled prophecy. It announced the Savior King had come. It authenticated John's ministry and the beginning of our Lord's ministry. Jesus Christ, our high priest and our friend, says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, which is a way of saying, set your will to be God's will. What does he say in the Lord's Prayer? "Thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." Let my will, Father, be your will. Let your will be my will, Father. That we conform, that we in our struggle in life, day to day, our hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, that we will show God that we want to conform to His will. How do we do that? Turn with me for the final scripture over to Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. Verses 5, 6, and 7. Psalms 37, verses 5, 6, and 7. Commit, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Point number one, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And another proverb, I think it's 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. It says here, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Verse 6, He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light, or as the light, and your justice as the noonday. We need to hunger and thirst for that righteousness, for His way of life, to conform to the will of God. And then verse 7, rest in the Lord, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently on Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass, and so on. We need to commit. We need to trust. We need to rest in Him, and we need to be patient, waiting patiently for Him. It was interesting in my study where Matthew, that the word for righteousness is the same word in both chapters. Matter of fact, all the way through the book of Matthew, the word righteousness is the same. It means the same thing. It's equity of justice, or equity of conduct, or equity of character. But when he uses it in chapter 5, it has a slight, the way he used it, it gives it just a slight change. It's equity because of justification. Equity because of justification. By us walking in before God and conforming our will to God, we don't do that to be saved. We do that because it's in response to the grace of God. By the grace of God, we are here. By the grace of God, we've been called. And by the grace of God, we have an opportunity to hunger and thirst for His truth, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, and to be His children. It's a wonderful and blessed event in our lives. And I pray that you will hunger and thirst for His righteousness.